following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
You can
make it. I told you, Trump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
You're
wrong way.
You're going the wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Ryan and Breeze exchange a handshake. 30-14 is the final. The Falcons now are 60 minutes from the postseason with their sixth win.
Wow. A huge upset. By far their biggest victory of the year. The Ravens, a 9-win team coming in. Everything to play for. And the Texans absolutely dominate them.
And the Cincinnati Bengals finally shine in prime time and clinch their fourth straight trip to the playoffs as they beat the Denver Broncos.
3 seconds to go. Redskins up by three. Sanchez back to pass. He's under heat. He's got time. He scrambles. He puts it into the air. It is long enough. A lot of people down there. Knocked down.
Woo-hoo!
It's knocked down by Philly. Anderson. Game over. The Redskins win.
Good night,
break
Philly.
A six-game losing streak. And they beat the Eagles tonight, 27-24.
Go home.
The ball game is over, and Jason Garrett just got a bath.
Mincy and Romo dump it on the head coach, and now there's hugs all around.
And today, the Dallas Cowboys gave themselves and all of their fans the happiest Christmas in half a decade.
Yes, they did. That's that Jeremy Mincy guy, John. How do you say it, Jim Nance?
Mincy.
How?
Mincy.
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 That's it.
He's mincing his way to the NFC East Division title.
Woo!
Ah. Also known in Philadelphia as the Super Bowl.
But not this year. Stay home, you filthy, dirty Eagles.
Oh, that's great. That is fantastic.
Hell yeah, man. A nice good shot across the jaw to Philly right off the bat. Pow!
All right. I told you we'd be back to do a show for Christmas. Here we are. I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 252.
No shit. I'll tell you what, man. Who was it that you played right before the Redskins clip? Who was that? There's one before that. I can't remember which.
There was all of those games had playoff implications.
Right.
Let's see. So we had Baltimore and Houston.
Right.
We had Atlanta was first. Right. Could you believe that? They're 60 minutes away from going to the playoffs at
Jesus
what
Christ.
6-8 or 7-8, 6-9, whatever it is.
And Philly's going to stay
unbelievable.
Home.
Unbelievable. And then we had the Bengals.
That's the one.
Beating the Broncos.
The Bengals announcer sounds like Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely
does.
He's
Norm MacDonald. Now, see, that I could get behind. Norm MacDonald doing football games. There you go. ABC, let's hear it. Or NBC. ABC doesn't do it anymore. But NBC can Collinsworth. MacDonald for the job.
Don't you just feel like the Bengals are going to go and lose another playoff game?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Look, the Bengals shot their wad last night. And, you know, to their credit, they played hard. And, they John Gruden was pointing it out early. They're confusing the what's he call him out there? The private eye? What's he call Manning? He's got a nickname for Manning. I can't remember what it is, but he's confusing him. He can't confuse Manning, and he's confusing Manning. So, you know, way to go. You did a good job there, Marvin Lewis. You managed to confuse Peyton Manning and Johnny Manziel all in one season. So, yay.
All right, quick fantasy note. There's our buddy Yisman still in first place in the Bang Radio Gridiron Challenge.
He's a ringer. I'm telling you, man. Yisman is some guy that comes in from one of these leagues that sits around in Vegas and does nothing but figure this stuff up. And he comes in here to make us all feel bad.
Well, he's so far ahead, nobody's going to catch him in 1 week. He is in, John, the upper 99.9 percentile. He's got to be, like, close to first place. He's got probably in the top 100. overall.
As I said, he's our buddy, man. We like this guy. He's always been around. He's been around since the very, very, very beginning. And I know he's a New York fan, and I always get it confused, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it's the Giants and the Jets that he roots for, and one of the two is going to be right. And he'll write to me immediately and tell me where I'm wrong on the one of them. And I will give Yisman absolute credit because he has awesome taste in music, likes the Verve, and Echo and the Bunnymen. So there you go. We're very happy with that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Play us some more Disturbed at the break there, Tom.
In second place, Sharp as a Whistle. Third place, Molly Welker's Pee Bottle. That's Anadem, we know. The top five are still the same. They keep changing the order. Number four, Nizzle Padizzle and Hooya, and that's D. Shepsman. And I'm in fifth. And last time we did the show, you were in 50th place.
Right, I went all in with Johnny Manziel to try to get on page one. It didn't work.
Well, you know, you're still on page one.
I managed to get on page one this week, even though I gave up completely and left Manziel in there. I really didn't even look at my lineup this week, which is what I should have been doing all year, apparently. Apparently, the problem with my fantasy team, Tom, is me.
Well, you made the playoffs in my league, and I don't know if you were paying attention,
but
by the way.
I got smoked in the playoffs.
I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but I did win the championship this week.
What a big surprise.
And I benched DeMarco Murray and still won.
DeMarco Murray, Tom's Dawes Outlaw, DeMarco Murray, I still won championship.
Now I'm trying to find your text here that you sent me. Let's see. No, there's one that says Hackenberg. Let's see.
Shit, Hackenberg the statue. You know what? For Yisman, who's been with us for so long and is a fan of Echo and the Bunnymen and the Bang Radio Hour, I think that what you ought to do at your radio station is one of these times one of these heavy metal long hairs comes in, you ought to kick them out and bring in Echo and the Bunnymen and have Ian McCullough say,
"Oh, you're listening to the Bang Radio Hour, she moves it for the Echo and the Bunnymen."
I would, but I'm afraid I'd get shot.
Shot? So. Jesus Christ. Never mind. I'm not going to make the obvious police joke.
After the Hackenberg text, you sent me a text that said, "Them Ohio refs with them Ohio accents."
That's right.
That must have been during the Ohio State-Penn State game.
That's right. It set the tone right away. It was the first drive. They gave Ohio State a bullshit interception. It was ridiculous. The ball hit the ground, and I don't know why they didn't give it back to him.
Oh, my God. Your text, man. You see, Fred Smoot busted on a domestic assault, and then you imitate him on text, and you actually spell it out, and it says, "De Bips Gop What She Be Aspen Foe."
Hey, look, I could just imagine if I was the chip inside Fred Smoot's phone that was the one that was responsible for translating his text or talk to text, right? Say what? What the fuck?
But I understood it. I got it, you know. I've talked to Freddie enough to know. Yeah, here it is. Here it is.
I have a Fred Smoot app on the
here
phone.
It is. All in with Johnny Football to get me back on page one of the Gridiron Challenge. Starting Manziel this week. Well, how'd that work out for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that's a good idea. Look, I tell you what, not necessarily starting Johnny Manziel, but I'm sitting here brainstorming, and we've got a lot of tech wizards out there in the crowd. Anybody that wants to develop us an app, something that will translate whatever you say into your phone into Fred Smoot language, that would be freaking cool.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome. Something that you could take whatever you say into the phone. As a matter of fact, during the show, at any time, Tom could say a phrase. And they asked me to translate it, and I would Fred Smoot it up for him, and you could hear exactly how it would work. All for just $1.99.
All right. Let's get on with the show here. Coming up, we've got a big thank you from Beast Mode. Ooh. We've got Johnny back to the bench.
Back on the bench.
Only old people like the Raiders, John.
Oh, that's true.
And your 2015 Christmas news coming up at the end of the show as well. But first, I want to get into what I really enjoyed, and that's what started everything on Saturday, and that was your Redskins beating the Eagles.
Wonderful game. Absolutely wonderful game. It reminded me exactly why I watch football. I just wish the Redskins would let me feel it at least once or twice within 10 weeks or so.
Yeah, they had what? They had a six-game losing streak going for that game?
I don't know how we beat Philly. I swear to God, I don't know how we beat Philly. I am not going to sit up here and crow and say, look what we fucking did, because I really don't have the slightest idea. We let Mark friggin' Sanchez throw for fucking 9,000 yards all over us. I don't know what the hell. Well, I do know what the hell. We continue to go out there with Big Bird with defensive coordinator right there, and that's the problem. But I don't know how we beat them. I don't know. We are the worst team I think I've ever seen. We watched the Lions go 0-16 with less fucking whining drama than the Redskins team. I'm serious. The Lions went 0-16 with more dignity. Lots more.
Well, here's RG3.
You know, we wanted to spoil their Christmas and send them home, and, you know, we did our part.
You sure did. You spoiled their Christmas. That was great.
You're a mean one, RG3.
I'll tell you how you did it. This is how you did it. DeSean Jackson.
They play how they play. They don't care. You know, that's the Philadelphia Eagle defense. I've been there a lot of years and witnessed a lot of players, wide receivers, tight ends, you know, get off and want some huge game on them. And, you know, I'm just happy to be on this side and be able to, you know, send them home with a loss.
Damn, man. You know, I understand you have some, you know, animosity towards the front office. They, you know, put the whole drug or not drug, but gang relations out there, and they didn't bring you back. But damn, you just threw all your teammates under the bus. He's like, I was there a long time, saw those defensive guys get burnt all day.
Yeah, pretty much. What he said was that they don't make any adjustments. They don't respect what you can do. And he was right, and they beat him twice on deep throws. And I'll tell you this. Finally, RG3 did not overthrow him. And even though he threw, I mean, he made two Willie Mays catches. Did you see those balls? They were well over his back shoulder, well the wrong way. I'll say this, and I bet you everybody's going to laugh at me because I'm a homer, but can you find me somebody in the NFL that closes on a deep ball better than he does?
Oh, no, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's one thing to say Megatron or Dez Bryant that just go up high and go get anything. I'm talking about a guy. I mean, he comes down with balls that you shouldn't. You wouldn't think he should.
I would. The only other guys I'm thinking about it like him are Antonio Brown from the Steelers. He does it.
Yeah.
And Odell Beckham. Holy shit! Oh, this guy.
Dude is bad, and now he's got a mouth too.
Yes.
Did you see him the other day yakking his head off, getting penalized and shit for yapping?
I know. Well, man, they had an all-out brawl in that game because he got hit late out of bounds.
Yeah, the Rams are a dirty team. We all know that.
But you got him for, what, the next 10 to 15 years?
Absolutely.
On your team.
Nice midseason pickup.
Although I still don't think you should give up Julio Jones.
No, he's come on late this year. You know, him I would continue to start. I think I pulled him out for the playoff game because I liked the better matchup somewhere along the line. I think I was right for doing it.
Yeah, but, you were.
Yeah, but I'm not getting rid of him, and I'm glad I didn't make the trade in the middle of the year for Drew Brees for Tom Brady. Even though Tom Brady had a great year, my problem was that it was the same bye week as my other quarterback.
I remember. So. Well, Brady didn't have a great week, and I'm glad because I was playing against him. So anyway, because of you whooping up on the Eagles, all Dallas had to do was win to clinch the division. You know, all I heard was, here comes December. Oh, here comes December. Well, they haven't lost in December. Tony Romo is the highest rated quarterback of the month so far, and he is just on fire. And Chuck Pagano didn't like being on that end of things, but he ain't worried about it.
There's a lot of football to be played. We got a bunch of grown men in that locker room, and we'll find a way to get these things fixed. And, you know, we obviously know we can't play the way that we played tonight and expect to do anything. So we never get discouraged. It's the National Football League. It's a tough-ass business, and it's not for everybody. And so that's why we don't get discouraged.
Now, I really liked that, hearing that, coming from a coach. He's like, you know what? You can't get down. This is a tough-ass business.
Right. This is a guy that beat cancer. Remember last year on the sidelines, he was green the whole damn year.
Exactly. I don't think he's sweating one non-conference loss. I really don't.
Look, and it's aside from that, this is you see something like this happen almost all the time with a powerful team. They have an inexplicable loss. Now, granted, this is not an inexplicable loss in that Dallas is a bad football team. They're really a good football team. I think they've got a good chance to really compete hard in the NFC. I mean, Seattle, they've already beat Seattle. Green Bay, you know, they're really up most of the time, but then they have a Buffalo sitting in them. But it's the same thing with the Colts and with the Packers over with Buffalo. Everybody has a game like that where you just throw it out. It's an anomaly. It doesn't fucking matter. And same with the Cowboys. You take your best performance and your worst performance during the course of the year, and you toss them out because they're not the usual.
Right.
Everything else is what you're normally going to get. So if I'm the Colts and I'm the Cowboys, I'm still pretty confident regardless of how that game turned out.
It was an ass-whooping, too. I was very pleased. With
I was bored.
I wasn't.
I was bored.
I was celebrating all six touchdowns.
Shit, I was sitting on the red zone hoping they'd go to the Raiders game. I was so damn bored.
Oh, my God. You just brought up Buffalo beating Green Bay, and then they lose to Oakland. Are you kidding me?
Hey, I'm telling you, that Tony Sperano's got those Raiders playing. Hey, what? Nobody told you that. I didn't tell you that I was coaching those guys because I ain't coaching those guys, and anybody that told you I was, I ain't.
It's screwing up the first round pick.
Tell you what. Do you think Tony Sperano sleeps with sunglasses on?
I don't know.
They have to. I'll tell you, they've got to keep him. Don't you think?
Who knows? Yeah, with that I team, do. I don't know. We're going to, you know what? We got a couple guys going to talk about the Raiders coming up in the second half of the show.
Good.
You got to hear this. This is great.
Is important.
Right? Yes. All right. Cam Newton played against, you know, he played against your boy, Johnny Manziel. Right. Your boy.
My boy. Because he exhibits everything in a human being that I really admire.
Well, you know, when he got hurt against the Panthers this past Sunday,
right?
The fans cheered. The fans, okay. And this was Carolina fans. They were cheering that he got hurt, and Cam Newton, he didn't like that.
I'm hoping that he was all right, man. It was just saddening to see the crowd's response to when he was getting hurt, man. I just think it was classless. At that time, you know, any time when a person's hurt, you know, you don't celebrate. I've had that done in my career, and it takes the integrity out the game. You know, for the crowd to respond in that type of way, man, it's just we're better than that, and that's not who we are.
We're better than that.
Dude. This is the Carolinas. Between them, right in the center of the Carolinas, which is what I would call the heart of professional wrestling country. Look, yeah, you know what I'm saying? This is what these people show up for. NASCAR, why do they go? Do they go to watch them turn circles?
No, they go for the crash.
They go for the crash. Okay, so now they need to get this guy knocked out. What do they do? You take that shit! Woo! That's why they're there.
Yeah, I understand, and you've said it time and time again. You don't care what Cam Newton says or anybody else. When you're watching your team play, say, the Giants, if you knock Eli out and break his head in two, man, you're cheering your ass on.
Right. Well, now, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. If he's sitting out there on the, you know, if he's laying on the field, I'm not going to be up like, woo, yeah, woo, you know, I hope his leg's broke. I wouldn't be like that. But if you take the quarterback out, hey, man, what the hell? That's good. That's good for your team. You took the quarterback out, except in the case of this of the Browns, who came right in and threw an 81-yard touchdown.
I know. The Panthers are over there like, damn, dude, why'd you hurt him? Why did you hurt him? I think we should call Johnny up.
All right.
We've never talked to him before. We got to welcome him to the show. He's never been on before. He's a rookie.
All right.
So let's get Manziel on the phone here.
Yo.
Johnny Manziel.
What up?
Hey, man. This is John and Tom. We do a show called The Bang Radio Hour, and we've talked to so many players and coaches in the NFL, and we thought we'd give you a call. You got a couple minutes you can spare?
Just a couple. Busy man, you know.
I understand that. Hey, look, man, I've been a big supporter of yours since day one. And I know you're a long way from being done, but, you know, everybody was so excited to see you play when they announced you were going to start. And, you know, I know things didn't go well. What happened there?
What do you mean it didn't go well? What do you mean, bro? Huh? You saying you could do this better than me, bro?
Cause, no.
Cause I don't think so, bro.
No, not at all.
We're going to have a problem here, bro?
No, man, not at all.
All right, look, it's real simple, bro. It's the Browns, bro. What do you think? I mean, ain't nobody ever done shit with the Browns, bro. Now I can see why. These guys, man, they just don't know how to play, bro. Damn, bro, I'm Johnny Football. These clowns, they don't know nothing about that. They ain't ready for that, bro. And you can see it. I mean, how am I supposed to play with guys like that? We ain't bros, you know what I'm saying, bro? We should be out shotgunning beers, dropping Red Bull shooters, hanging with some bitches, lighting up town. You know what I'm feeling, me, bro?
I do, man. I agree with you.
It's Cleveland, bro. You can't hang in Cleveland. There ain't no bros and ain't no hoes, bro.
Well, listen, man, I'm really, I felt really bad for you when you got hurt. And, you know, I know that those fans in Carolina started cheering when you got hurt. Cam Newton was upset about that. He didn't like the fans cheering your injury. How'd you feel about it?
How'd I feel? I felt pain, bro. I felt lots of it, pain. I was all like, ow, ow, and shit, bro. I mean, like, shit, man. I tried to run dude over, y'all. And, like, there was this other big-ass dude fell on my leg, bro. It's too bad, too, because I was getting ready to lead the comeback, bro. You could see what was going to happen right after that. You see what happened, bro? 81-yard touchdown, bro. I called that play. I told him on the sidelines while they were stretching out my leg. Ah! You got to throw the pass to the tight end. And they did it, bro, and I was setting up that shit all the whole first half, bro. But Cam, he all right. You know what I'm saying, bro?
I do. Well, that was a good call, man. But now.
Yeah, when I got landed on put my hamstring, I felt like Cam did, you know, when he was like, you know, in that car wreck, bro. If I'd heard people cheering about that, I'd have been all like, yo, shut up, bro. That ain't cool. You know what I'm saying, man? And then I'd tell my boys if they hear anything like that else again, they got to leave to go ahead and start whooping some ass. You feeling me, bro?
I understand. Absolutely.
Cam, he all right.
Well, now you're hurt, and we don't know, you know, when we're ever going to see you again.
Yeah, well, you're going to see me again. I mean, damn, bro, I'm Johnny Football, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'll be back. It's only a pulled hamstring, and if I can get my ass away from Cleveland, I am going to be cash money, bro. You feel what I'm saying? And shit, I've been working on my freestyle and this shit, and I'm getting ready to launch my record label, Number 2 Records. Number 2. That's right. That's me, bro. Number 2. And when people hear my flow, they're going to be thinking about nothing but Number 2. You know what I'm saying, bro?
I do. Now...
Ask me for some flow.
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Nah, man, ain't nothing for free, bro. Y'all don't know better than that. I ain't about nothing but them. All right. My name be Johnny, and I play ball. I try to throw, and it get picked off, y'all. Ho! My name be Johnny, and I try to run, and then I pull my hammy, and it ain't no fun. Ho!
Well, you know, you mentioned you don't do anything for free. You know, people love to criticize you for making that money sign. I mean, that, to me, that's just another, you know, I mean, we see everybody celebrates on the field. They all got their moves. I don't know why they got to pick yours out, but are you going to keep doing that?
Absolutely, bro. I got to, bro. People, they can be haters and shit, bro, but it's only because they ain't got what I got. And that's a quarterback rating of 42. I mean, cash money, bro.
I understand. Hey, listen, man, why don't you tell Justin Bieber and Floyd Mayweather to call us?
Look, man, Floyd would call y'all, but, you know, Floyd's fingers always swollen. He couldn't use the phone if he tried. Justin Bieber, psh, that boy, he got a phone that's so big, he got nothing but in there but child porn. You know that? All his girlfriends are 12 years old.
Right. Well, those two never answer the phone when we call them.
Nah, they ain't going to answer the phone. You got to get some puffy little titties and show it to Justin, then he'll pick up.
You
didn't hear that from me, bro. Now I'm getting ready to go party.
Well, you do that. Hey, listen, take care of that hamstring, man, because I still believe in you, and I want to see you back there starting next year.
I'm going to be starting next year probably with, I don't know, maybe Washington.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Either that, maybe, I don't know, somewhere. You know, well, maybe I should have stayed in school. I don't know.
Well, the Browns are stupid if they give up on you after a game and a half, but like you said, we already know the Browns are stupid, so...
Yeah, Browns are stupid, yo. Because you know why? Because they in Cleveland, yo.
Right.
Anybody with no sense going to be here?
All right, man. Well, go enjoy your party, dude, and we'll talk to you down the road, all right?
All right, happy holiday, bro.
You too, Johnny.
Man, that sounds like a guy knowing where he's going, Tom.
Yeah.
He's got a record label and all.
Yeah, did you hear that flow?
I got a feeling his whole record label sounds like shit.
All right, Beast Mode says thank you. That's next.
Hello, I'm Mike Irvin. It's December. Tis the season to be jolly.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? Sky shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea.
I'm feeling you and then I'm gone. Oh!
VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
How the Goodell ruined the NFL. Every fan down in Fanville liked the NFL a lot. But the Goodell, who lived just north of Fanville, did not. The Goodell hated the NFL the whole NFL season. Now please don't ask me why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on quite right. It could be perhaps that his tie was too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his brain was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his brain, or maybe his greed, he stood there in the office, hating the league, staring out of his window with a sour Goodell-like scowl, thinking about the Steelers waving the terrible towel. For he knew every fan down in Fanville below was busy now enjoying the frozen tundra they have at Lambeau. "And they're hitting the players," he snarled, closing the blind. "You can't hit receivers. They should be fined." Then he growled with his Goodell fingers nervously rubbing his hands. "I must find a way to keep the NFL from having such fans. For all the fans of Redskins and Cowboys would cheer bright and early. They'd sing to annoy. And then, oh the noise, oh the noise, 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 noise." That's one thing he hated. The noise, 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 noise! And the more the Goodell thought of the players trying to get a ring, the more the Goodell thought, "I must stop this whole thing! Why, for nearly 100 years I put up with it now! I must stop the NFL from being liked. But how?" Then he got some ideas. Some awful ideas. The Goodell got some wonderful, awful ideas. "I know just what to do," the Goodell laughed, causing a racket. And he quickly grabbed his tie, and also his jacket. His suit was not washed, but he didn't mind the smell. "With this coat and this tie, I'll look just like Roselle. All I need are officials." The Goodell looked around, but since they wanted more money, there were none to be found. Did that stop the old Goodell? "No," the Goodell simply said. "If I can't find officials, I'll replace them instead." So he called the small leagues, and he took some spare change, and he paid them with it, hoping they didn't think it strange. Then he watched some games and some questionable calls. The officials in Seattle might as well have been in Montreal. Then the Goodell said, "London!" And the league started down, towards the home where the Brits lay a snooze in their town. Then he jacked up the prices of the tickets they sell. If FIFA could do it, then so could the Goodell. He got complaints only once, for a moment or two. Then he hit the fans again. So what did he do? Why, he cracked down on the fans tailgating, that's what. "Having fun before a game," he grinned. "Why, that has to stop." Then he fined many players, with a grin most unpleasant. Around the whole league, he offered no present. Clean hits, a handshake, celebrations, tackles. Low hits, texting, it was like the players were in shackles. And he fined them in droves. Then the Goodell, with such ease, fined James Harrison again, for a hit on Drew Brees. Then he removed all the beer from the stadiums with glee. Dry games are safer, thought the Goodell, sipping his tea. Then the last thing he took was the logo from their Super Bowl. Now it was bare much on the whole. He made it the same every year, the old troll. And the one crumb of comfort he left for the teams was that there was no lockout haunting their dreams. Then the Goodell said, if fans bring stuff, they'll be in Ziplocs or worse. They'll need to jam them into a teeny tiny purse. It was almost a new season. All the fans still a watch, all the fans still a cheer, as he stood there with a sneer. Packed up with their fines, letters, and the rules, it was all ruined. The rule book was retarded, written by fools. 100 feet up, looking over his work, he laughed at what he'd done. He was such a jerk. Boo-hoo to the fans, he said, finding another fine to submit. They're finding out now that the league is now shit. They're kicking off now. They're starting to play. They'll see no hitting. They'll hate it, won't they? Then all the fans down in Fanville will switch over to NBA. That's a reaction, grinned the Goodell, that I simply must hear. So he paused, and the Goodell put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising at the games. It was almost like they were chanting some names. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sounded like cheering. The fans were excited as the season was nearing. He stared down at Fanville. The Goodell popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every fan down in Fanville, the big and the small, were cheering, stupid rules, fines and all. He hadn't stopped the NFL from working. It works. Somehow or other, it works even with all the jerks. And the Goodell, with his Goodell eyes watching his screen, stood puzzling and puzzling. Why, what does this mean? The league has no logic. There are nothing but flags. They play games in London, and no one watches the Jags. He puzzled 3 hours, till his puzzler was sore. Then the Goodell thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe bad rules, he thought, doesn't ruin this sport. Maybe the fans, perhaps, still want to show their support. And what happened then? Well, in Fanville they say that the Goodell's small brain grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his brain didn't feel quite so small, he rushed with his rulebook to watch them play ball. And he brought back the fines and fixed the rules they were panning. And he himself, the Goodell, intercepted Eli Manning.
Hey y'all, this your girl Cheryl Underwood, and just because I live in Los Angeles don't mean I want to get banged by what? You listen to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour. That's the ignorantest shit I've ever read.
Turn and hand to Lynch. He stutter steps. Breaks through the line. Makes a man miss. Cuts back outside right 30. 35, 40. Down the far sidelines. Pushes the defender. Keeps fighting. He's still moving. He's going to go. Down to the 20. The 15. They're changing at 10. He dives in. Are you kidding me?
What a run.
Touchdown, Seahawks. Holy cow.
made Beefquake look like a walk in the park. Marshawn Lynch, sick, a bad back, says, get out of my way. Holy smoke. Marshawn from 79, what a play.
That was an amazing run, man.
It was a walk in the park in sparkly green slippers.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, which was a better run, that one or the one he ran against the Saints?
I think that one.
That one?
Yeah, I do.
I'll tell you what, I love the one against the Saints, he ran over everybody. And this one, he broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage, and then he made a cutback that was just a freaking big-ass gap. I mean, it was just a lane. And, dude, the dude he hit, what was it, number 26 or something? He knocked that guy. If you slow it
he
down,
did.
Look, the guy flies 5 yards. That's 15 feet before he lands again. That's like getting punched by Batman. Bam!
Right?
He knocks the shit out of him. And I'll tell you what, man, he had no doubt that he was going to score. He had no doubt. As soon as he made that cutback at the line of scrimmage, they weren't going to stop him.
Nope.
Yeah, he's a bad
dude. Yeah, that was amazing. And, of course, he did his typical post-game press conference.
Thanks for asking.
What's that?
I said thanks for asking.
That's a good thing to talk about.
No, I said thank you for asking. Appreciate it.
Marshawn, can you describe the 79-yard touchdown run?
Thanks for asking.
How about the stomach issue early in the game?
I appreciate you asking about my stomach. Thank you.
Are you any concern whether you're going to play at all tonight?
Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. I appreciate you asking about my stomach.
He's the best. And look, man, like I said last time, is this any different than what you got out of the other running back this week?
Nope.
Absolutely not. Because even if he was any other running back in the NFL, any other running back in the NFL makes that run, and they talk about it other than just by saying thanks for asking, they say the same old shit.
Well, you know, my good line made a good hole, and I saw the gap, right, and I ran up the sideline, and, you know, the dude just kind of got a bad angle, and, you know, I was just glad to be here.
I love that he does it because it's entertaining. I find it kind of, you know, I see people getting so upset about it. And I'm like, you know, just stop.
Whatever.
Just stop. Because here's what matters. All that matters is how his teammates in that locker room feel about him. And I'm going to tell you right now, every one of his teammates loves him to death because that's the way he plays the game.
Absolutely.
That's all that matters to them. They couldn't give two shits what he says to the press after the game.
By the way, I think that was what was the matter with his stomach pregame. He was trying to give two shits. But you know what? I'm serious. What's he going to do? Is there any running back that's going to say, well, you know, I came around the corner and I looked up the sidelines and I seen that dude and I fucking said, fuck him. And I ran right over his ass and it felt good. I trumped all over him, ran over his ankle and headed for the end zone.
No, but don't you wish there was one that would say that?
Yes, but you know what? The point is he said it. He said it right there on the field. And not only did he say it right there on the field, but the cameras kept showing it again and again and again because that was the point they had to see if his little sparkly green slippers stepped out of bounds. So in super slow-mo, you got to see that dude get blown up over and over and over.
you know damn well people like Bob Costas and Jim Nance think, oh, he's just a terrible human being.
Mincy.
Oh, shut up.
Mincy.
Fuck you.
Mincy.
Yeah.
Didn't he find a wallet and drive over to some guy's house and drop it off? Could you imagine, dude, opening the door and there's freaking Marshawn Lynch with your wallet?
No, man.
He's great. He's fantastic.
This is nothing but a grudge, and I, you know, he can hold his grudge as long as he wants. This goes all the way back to last year when they fined him when he wouldn't talk to the media. So now he's going to play this little game and say, okay, fine, I'll talk to the media. I'm just going to give him the same answer over and over and over again. And it's pissing people off, and I love it.
You know, and that's the problem, is that it's pissing people off, and it's not his problem. It's their freaking problem.
Right.
You go to the next locker and the guy ain't going to say anything, even though he says a hell of a lot of words.
That's fantastic.
Way to go, Marshawn Lynch. I know you listen to this podcast. You're going to download it on Christmas Day just like you're supposed to. So keep it up, dude. Keep it up.
Beast mode. We love you, man. All right. Now, guys I don't love.
We are so full of ourselves.
Goofy ass fucking radio sports talk guys.
Hey, Tom, what are you talking about, goofy ass sports radio talk guys?
No, this is ridiculous, man. Wait till you hear these guys. They can't be in a big city, right? Don't tell me they're in Phoenix, because, John, we should be making a hell of a lot of money if these guys are on the radio in a in a city the size of Phoenix.
We've already been fined in this one show. We are now in, we're not even a half hour into the show. We're a little more than a half hour in, and we've probably been fined fucking $30,000 already. We're already out of business.
Well, this is Doug and Wolf, and I don't know who's named Wolf, because it's not the Wolf, it's just Wolf.
Wolf.
Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. All right. They're arguing about the Raiders, not necessarily the team, but the brand, that Oakland Raiders brand. Okay. Right. And Doug is saying how that brand only appeals to people over 40 years old, and
Wolf says. Which is why he doesn't have any other part of his name. He's just Wolf.
Right. So they're going to argue about it. And Doug's trying to make the point that younger people don't see that Raiders brand the same way older people do. And they get into this. There's a little bit of confusion because I understand where Doug's coming from. And Wolf's trying to argue with him. But they're really saying the same thing, and somehow that gets them into a big fight, and it gets ridiculous. Listen to this.
Anybody that appears to be about 32 years of age or younger just looks at the Raiders as a joke.
Yeah.
I don't see how you couldn't at that age.
I honestly think that you put too much stock in Twitter. That's what I think.
Do you want to take calls on it?
Is that scientific?
You want to take calls on it?
He just takes a gigantic leap in fucking logic. What?
Where do you get your show prep from? Whatever they're saying on Twitter.
Oh my God! The Raiders have sucked for 25 years. I think that's resonating with younger fans. Oh yeah, well I think you can read Twitter too much.
Well, except for that time when that guy, what's his name there, Chucky was coaching them. They weren't bad.
Well, okay, that was 2002. They were in that Super Bowl there, so they had a blip of 3 years.
Right,
and that's
right.
12 years ago now.
But the point is, again, like I said, it's not about the team. It's about the brand, that logo, and how that appeals to people. So let's continue here.
No, I just asked a simple question. I don't know how you're attacking Twitter.
No,
it's not about Twitter.
I just asked people, what do you think? You're basing it off what you just heard. What, 10 tweets? Seven?
I just asked the question. I don't expect.
I'm just saying.
If
you went to guys that are power players now, if you went to guys that were businessmen right now and asked them about the Oakland Raider brand, I don't think we're going back to saying that they're 60 or 70 year old guys that remember the brand. I think most people that are in their 40s,
yes,
that are power players, decision makers right now.
That's what I said.
Probably say, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're actually agreeing with me, even though you're arguing.
No.
I asked young people, what do you think? Specifically young people, what do you think?
So under 30.
Yes. I said, what do you think? And then we were talking about the brand. Obviously, the conversation's over your head.
Okay.
Whoa.
That
was a nice shot across the chin.
And it was a nice friendly debate until he said, "I'm sorry, this conversation's over your head." All right,
and then Wolf bit him on the ankle. No, Wolf, down. We'll be right back. Down.
Right, and here's how it went.
I apologize to you. I didn't mean to expose that.
That's.
And by the way, the number is now 42. We've had 42 tweets.
42.
About it.
By the way. Nothing's over my head that you say.
If I say the brand, let's ask what young people think, and your response is, and I say, if you're anywhere between about 20 and 35 years old, I want to run an experiment. Just tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And your response back is, 40-year-olds don't think that.
No, I'm just 40-year-olds.
We were never talking about 40-year-olds.
You look at Twitter, and all of a sudden, it's a scientific fact.
I never said it was scientific. I just asked. I don't even understand how you're upset.
I'm just sitting here trying to figure out how you're even disputing the fact that the brand is still one of the best brands in the world.
I asked if young people think that. That's all I did. And you got bent out of shape about it. As Aaron Rodgers would say, relax.
You know what, Doug? Shut up.
No. Don't ever tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
You're not man enough to tell me to shut up. That's a joke.
You want to go?
Seriously,
you don't ever say that to me. Bull crap.
Why would you tell a man to shut up? Either.
You know what? Seriously, you got a problem?
I do have a problem when somebody says shut up to me. That's a joke. It's unprofessional and it's immature.
You know what?
You can disagree with me all you want, but to tell another man to shut up is idiotic.
Speaking of idiot.
If you will feel better by punching me, go ahead.
Oh, well.
Next, we're going to talk about Vontaze Burfict, since we... both have the right to look at the way he handles himself right now. On Arizona Sports on 98.7 FM.
Doug and Wolf Morning. Doug and Wolf, Arizona Sports. Now on 98.7 FM.
Bad Wolf. Bad Wolf. In the commercial, they're swatting him on the nose with a newspaper. Bad Wolf. Bad Wolf. What's bull crap? You hear me? That's just a bunch of malarkey. Them's fight words, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey,
I'm
going
to start a fist fight, but it's going to be within FCC regulations. You hear me there, you mother sucker?
Hey, man, you get on the radio and start talking football.
It's a tough-ass business.
It's a tough-ass business. That's right, Chuck Pagano. You tell him.
That's bull crap.
You'll hear the roar.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me that the decision makers in this country, President Obama knows who the Raiders are.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Okay, quick quiz. Quick quiz, since we are in the money demographic. We are in the decision-making power demographic, Tom Boat.
Yes, yes.
He's a homeowner.
With power players.
Homeowner. We are landowners here in the United States of America, which means our vote counts more than yours.
Yes.
So, who is the logo of the Raiders? Who is it? Who is the model?
Who? What's up? It's the...
All right. It is cowboy actor Randolph Scott. All right. Okay. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's Randolph Scott, who made a shitload of money. As a matter of fact, he was one of the most powerful and famous and rich people in Hollywood because he freaking invested in oil out in California. And he made a ton of money making just Westerns. If you watch the Western Channel, chances are you're going to see him in one of these movies. And he's the guy who is the logo. So this guy talking about the brand, I'll bet you, you're late 40s, right? You don't know who he is.
Nope.
Nope. I could pick him out because I'm that kind of a nerd that stayed up all night watching Randolph Scott movies. But
I know what the logo looks like.
Sure. Hell yeah, man. You could not be anywhere near a gang if you don't know what that looks like.
Right.
Even though the people in the black hole are a bunch of pussies.
Is that right?
Look, man, your quarterback wears mascara. I don't want to hear anything about it. The dude wears mascara.
What is that about?
He's an emo quarterback.
What is that all about? What? Dude, you're not in Poison. What is this?
He's an emo quarterback, Tom. He gets up to the line of scrimmage. I'd like to call signals, but I just don't feel anything. He gets in the huddle. We should call a pass, but what's the point?
Oh, no. That's funny.
Somebody, he has to wear that armband, not to hide the plays, but to hide his cut marks so I can feel in practice.
Wow. That's great.
His stupid bangs keep getting in the way when he tries to throw. Although they've won two, right? They won two in a row. So good for the Raiders.
All right.
I'm going to pick him to go to the Super Bowl next year, dude. I don't think it's going to be any more stupid than my Bears pick.
I don't know. I think you'll be a year too early on that.
Oh, I wish I had this on tape this week, but there was a tape of Michael Irvin from early in the year picking that Jay Cutler was going to be the MVP. So I don't feel so bad.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. So go Raiders.
All right. So it's Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple things here I wanted to share with you.
You think Wolf and the Dork made up?
No, I don't know.
Dude put a bow on a bone and gave it to his partner.
I can't believe he said, you want to go?
You want to go?
Oh, my God.
You want to step outside, Buster?
I mean, these two guys are supposed to be professional radio hosts. Are you kidding me? We should be making a fortune. We should be syndicated all over the world.
That's bull
Jesus
crap,
Christ.
Tom. That's bull crap.
Wow. All right. So a new study has found that women are much more likely to get accidentally knocked up over the 2 weeks of the Christmas and New Year holiday.
Than men?
Okay.
I would say they're 100% more likely to get knocked
up. No. I mean than any other time of the year, you goofball. No. I know.
I was going to say, women are more likely? No shit. Get the fuck out of here.
More than half of women in the study said that they'd forgotten to take a birth control pill, used the morning after pill, or had an unplanned pregnancy happen over the Christmas season.
Right.
And, of course, I mean, you know, the main reasons, obviously, the drunken partying,
right,
which leads to risky decisions. And all the hectic rushing around and family time makes it easy to forget to take the pill. And the study found that 1 in 14 women, I thought this was interesting, 1 out of 14 women,
okay,
who've used the morning after pill had to get it after their office Christmas party. So 1 out of 14 women got laid at their office Christmas party.
Either that or they're trying to just fit in around the rest of the gals. So they buy it.
Several of them didn't even know how they got pregnant, and Bill Cosby ain't saying shit.
Yeah, well, so. Tell you what, man. There's nobody safe anymore, is there?
You don't know anything.
Nobody's safe anymore.
No.
Nobody.
Oh, my God.
Nobody.
America's favorite dad is a rapist.
You might as well just tell everybody what's the worst thing you've done and be done with it. As soon as you become famous, just say, okay, I did this once.
26. We're up to 26 women now, John.
Well, you know, everybody's going to come out of the woodwork. They're like women coming out of the woodwork.
All right, so my son got a PlayStation 4 for Christmas, and it sucks.
Really? What sucks about it?
It sucks because he moved out back in August, and now it's not at my house.
See, there you go. This is what's the problem with kids growing up these days, Tom. It's not about what our parents would like us to think about, where they feel this empty nest syndrome in which the child is out in the house, and now I don't know what to do with myself. Bullshit. It's because you take all the freaking cool-ass toys with you.
Yeah, they take the toys home. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. You had a son, so you know what it's like, man. When you have a son,
mm-hmm,
and I have a son, from the moment they're freaking old enough that they can actually grasp something without dying by choking on it, you get to just buy whatever the hell you want to play with.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how stupid it is. Oh, well, Hot Wheel track with loop-de-loops that go up the wall? Cool.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. That's why every year, hey, the boy's birthday's coming up. We need a Madden.
Oh, I love a racetrack.
Right.
Tyco.
Tyco,
electric racetrack. Yeah, slot cars, yes.
Yeah, slot cars, man.
Love them.
I didn't like that shit. Because you always went over to some kid's house who had one, and he knew how to run it, right? He knew how to slow down on the curves and shit, and he'd beat the living shit out of you. Your car would always be flying off the track.
That was me. You didn't want to come to my house.
I did, because, you know, usually that kid was bored of beating everybody's ass and didn't want to play, and you always wanted to play because you don't have one.
Right.
So, yeah, I always went over to the kid's house that had the Tyco thing.
Speaking of the PS4, here's a good one. This is straight off the police blotter in Alexandria, Minnesota.
Okay.
Last week, a guy called the cops to report, quote, he believes that somebody came into his house and changed the settings on his PS4.
And what kind of settings did he change? What did he say?
I don't know, man.
Dude,
I have no idea. There's no word on how the cops even handled it. I don't know.
All of a sudden, my X and Y axis were upside down, and I crashed, and man, the whole game was over.
So, I wonder if he called 911. I'd love to hear that 911 call.
He's probably got some guy in World of Warcraft assaulting him.
I know, right?
He keeps hiding behind rocks and shit, dude, and hit me with hammers. You need to get out here and do something. I think he's probably wondering why his tax dollars don't have cops wandering around the World of Warcraft world.
All right, so what do you do when you open one of those mediocre Christmas presents that you don't want?
Define mediocre, like the fish that sings?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what do you do?
I got that. I got that gift. I really did like it. I like that gift, but I'm a bass fisherman, so.
Yeah, I know.
What do you do?
What do? I just smile and say thanks. I've been conditioned to this, thanks to my Aunt Kathy. My Aunt Kathy used to buy me the worst goddamn thing she could think of. She honestly did. I was a 16-year-old Kiss freak with an Aerosmith twang, and all she would buy me for my birthday when I turned 16 was an album, ABBA's Greatest Hits. ABBA.
Oh, God.
ABBA's Greatest Hits. Dude, when I turned 18, she gave me a game for five-year-olds. Tiddlywinks. And when I was like 12 for my birthday, she gave me the USS Wasp by this fucking model kit with like a 1,500 pieces.
What?
With no instructions. No instructions. I asked her when I was like 25, why the hell did you do that stuff? That ABBA album, probably, if I still had it anywhere, it's still in the plastic. Why'd you do it? She said, I just wanted to watch you lie. It's what she said. I wanted to watch you lie.
And 40% of us do it. 40% fake it and pretend you like the gift.
Well, let's face it. You know, you have to. What are you going to do? Say, fuck this, man. What do you think? I need a rotating tie display? What the hell do you think I am?
Well, here's the sad part. The average bad gift costs $68.
Define a bad gift.
Just, you know, ABBA's greatest hits, although I don't think that costs $68.
Here's your combination popcorn coffee maker.
The three gifts that men dread the most, ugly ties, ridiculous Christmas sweaters, and cartoon socks. And the three gifts that women dread the most are diet books. Can you imagine you would give a diet book to a girl for Christmas? Oh, my God.
You're an idiot.
I know. So diet books, tacky ornaments, and gift certificates for plastic surgery.
What? Of course they're going to hate that. Hey, babe, you could use a few pounds, and why don't you look like this chick over here?
Oh, my God.
All I want for Christmas is a new girlfriend, but since I'm stuck with you, we're going to just shape you up a little bit.
Here, honey, look what I got you. Go get some boobs.
That's the idea. All I want for, that's what you're saying. All I want for Christmas is a new girl. Go fix yourself.
Oh, man.
I bet you say bro a lot during Christmas when you hand a girl something like that.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so Christmas and New Year's Day, both on Thursdays this year.
Yes.
Okay. So you would think, why would anybody work on Friday? I mean, I understand stores and fast food and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, in the normal Monday through Friday 9-to-5 world, like you, are you working, is your office open the day after Christmas?
We're in news, so, you know, there's going to be people on duty.
Well, yeah, you got to. But what about you?
Me? If I want to.
Yeah. You can, but you don't have to go in.
Probably not if I don't want to, but I'm going to put in some time.
Well, there's not much work getting done on those days, evidently, but 61% of people will get at least 3 paid days off over the holidays. You know, you get New Year's Day, you get Christmas Day, and then, you know, some companies will either do, usually it's the day after Christmas, and then they'll work the day after New Year's.
Right.
Like my wife, they're getting out at noon on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, and then they've got both the Friday after each off as well. So they're actually getting 5 paid days.
Right.
Here, I took vacation this week, so I do have the day off. Otherwise, I would have to work the day after. And it sucks because they're closing the office here at noon on Christmas Eve and on New Year's Eve. And it's like, well, there, everybody's getting an extra day. You're getting a half day on each one of those. Yeah, well, I do mornings, so my work day runs till noon.
Wah.
You know?
You got a great job. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Getting up at 3 a.m. is amazing. See, I love it.
Here's the thing. I don't relate to any of that because I'm one of these people. I guess maybe it's more prevalent here around the D.C. area, but I'm a independent contractor who's got one major client. That's what I am. I have one exclusive client, but I am treated as an independent contractor. I'm responsible for all my taxes and all that shit. So, you know, I work a full week, but I don't get time and a half, or I don't get a day off with pay here and there, or whatever, things like that. It's just kind of, I'm making this much this year, period. However, as much as I can get into it, as long as I put in at least 40 hours, obviously, I've got to keep up my end of the bargain there. But frankly, with me, dude, I just, you know, I do graphics, so I just do it. It doesn't make any difference to me if I'm working or not. I'm just cranking up the music and doing it anyway. It's not like work for me.
Well, now that's interesting. Like I said, 61% of people will get at least 3 paid days off over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this is a sign that the economy is doing a lot better. That 61% last year was only 30%.
That's pretty good.
That's up 52% from last year.
Fucking Obama. Bastard. Fucking jackass.
Of the people working on a holiday this year, Christmas Day or New Year's Day, 85% will get paid extra for working. Only 15% will get out there and have to work and not get any extra pay for it. I don't think that's right.
Nah. See, I'm used to being a freelancer. And for me, when I was freelancing, holidays were nice because once I finished doing the family thing, the phone didn't ring. The phone didn't ring. I could devote myself to my, because with what I do, man, you got to focus in. You got to zone in. And once you get interrupted out of it, you might not get back into it for a half an hour. You might not get your head back to where it was. You know, you got to toke a little here and a little there, a little bit here and there, you know. And once you blow off the initial buzz answering the phone.
All right, before we wrap this up. Let's talk about the biggest game of the weekend coming up here. What do you think's going to happen between Atlanta and Carolina?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Boca Raton Bowl. That's the big game. Atlanta, Carolina.
Oh, you believe God. That?
Atlanta, one Carolina. How about this? Matt Ryan gets hurt. Everybody laughs and cheers. Cam Newton gets so upset, he cries on the field and gets called for a delay of game penalty, which gives the Falcons the championship in which they go to the playoffs and win a playoff game and then advance to the next round where a, what are they going to be, 6-10?
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. Can you imagine being an Eagle fan? All right, which brings me, we haven't had any email sessions in forever. So what I did was right before the show started, I told you I put up a post on the Facebook page that says recording now in session. What do you got to say? Well, Roman Tima said, say something snarky about the Eagles. So there you go.
There you go. Yes. That. Yes.
Yeah. So let's see. Trent Dilford knows jack shit about football, says Daniel Shell. He's right, you know. Where's that Trent Dilford clip? You got that handy?
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
There you go. Genius, Trent Dilfer that he is.
There he is, Trent Dilfer. That's right.
Hey, anybody else write anything?
Let's see. Pete Smith wants us to remind us why Jay Cutler is as overpaid as Johnny Manziel based on the contributions to their respective teams. What the fuck is with Jay Cutler? What's his problem? He's got all the offensive weapons you could dream about.
I have no idea, man. I don't get it.
He doesn't have any offensive line, but still.
I don't get it.
I hope he doesn't end up in D.C. Also, Pete Smith Brown noses us by wishing us a Merry Christmas. And
Oh, jeez.
What?
I think he's just being nice and saying Merry Christmas.
Oh, come on. I'm too cynical for that. Merry Christmas to you, too, Pete. He is our bookie friend over in, I believe, somewhere in the jolly U.K. Let's see. Daniel Shell wants to remind Tom to roll, tide, roll.
Oh, God, here we go, man. Here we go.
I can't wait for that.
We're in.
Dude, I can't
we're
wait
in.
For that. New Year's Day's
we're in.
Great. Finally.
We're in.
Finally. I don't care about who you're in. Finally, we're going to get to see some actual football games that matter.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. College football that matters in January. That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. Chris Hopkins says Bengals in the playoffs, Jeremy Hill eating cold cuts.
And get some cold cuts. Go get some cold cuts.
Where are the Steelers and do I ain't at? And Henry Chan says mass protests in Philadelphia misreported in support of Ferguson, actually expressing outrage at two division games in a row with only one attributable to the stupid Texas refs, which is true, which is very true. Right now, I do believe there is a Philadelphia suicide red band alert in effect, which I believe means only the Franklin Bridge and the PNC Tower is where you're in the authorized jumping zones.
Is a Texas piece of shit ref with his fucking Texas accent that fucking was fucking them all game.
It'll never get old, will it?
Nope. Nope.
Home
that's great.
For the holidays.
Now, I do like this idea of Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
Okay, fine by me. The 49ers, I just, speaking about things I just don't get. What? How bad is this dude that you are going to throw away a coach that took you right to the top?
Well, he's mad. He wants to be the highest paid coach in the NFL, and they said, sure, no problem, just win the Super Bowl and we'll do that for you.
Well, I mean, Jesus Christ. It's not like he hasn't proven that he's very capable of getting, you know, it's you know, you understand what I'm saying? He's yeah. In the 1%. Coaches
right.
Don't get where he gets.
Right.
They're stupid. They're going to go right back to the toilet.
Yep. Pay the man.
No shit.
I think it's too late. And now Michigan's going to pay the man. Did you say $8 million a year?
I don't know. Is all this true? I keep hearing whether it's true or whether, because I don't even know if he's allowed to speak on it. And I keep hearing.
Oh, he
Raiders.
Is. No. Well, the Raiders, he can't speak on.
Right.
He can't do anything there. And they would have to trade something to get him in Oakland. College football is not part of the NFL. They can talk to him or his agent. They can say anything they want.
I could see Harbaugh turning down the Raiders because their brand recognition is not resonating well among the younger viewers. Bullcrap! Bullcrap, Captain Comeback! I'll take you out right now, and you and your khakis. You want to go? Huh? You want to tussle?
Shut up.
No.
How about I give you a knuckle sandwich? You know what, Doug? Shut up.
No.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
You're not man enough to tell me to shut up. That's a joke.
You want to go?
I just think
seriously,
telling...
you don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
Bullcrap. The other guy is about to get his ass kicked. You know, when a guy in a fight goes, no, no, you know he's about to just get slapped like a little, oh, you never know. He's going to get it like a puppy. Bap.
Shut up.
No.
Yeah.
He's going to get hit so hard, the next thing he's going to say sounds like Donovan McNabb.
Oh, man, that's great. That is great. All right. Well, we'll be back to do another show as soon as we can.
Yeah. You know, New Year's is coming.
Right. Well, it was good to be back and do a show again, and it won't be as long this time, I promise.
Yeah, we keep saying that. But, you know, that's what's cool. You keep laying around there waiting for us. Just stay in the room. I'll order up something if you want.
All right, everybody have a fantastic holiday. If you don't celebrate any of these holidays, well, then don't have a fantastic holiday.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Hope Captain Kwanzaa comes to your house.
Right.
As long as you've been good. So, peace, everybody.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons.
BangCartoon.com. Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Bang Cartoon Radio.